Stop right there, Buccaneer fans. Bill Curry Ford. If you're even thinking about getting a new vehicle, even have a smidgen of thought, you got to think Bill Curry Ford. I mean, that's the first place. A mile north of the stadium on the east side of Dale Mabry, where general manager Sean Sullivan, the guy never runs out of incentives. He's one of the greatest Buck fans you'll ever meet. He can fill you in on the top prospects in the 2022 draft, if you're into that. But more importantly, he'll give you the best deal in town. No matter what your credit rating is, he'll work with you. He'll find a way. And they got a fantastic showroom, fantastic service department. Most importantly, fantastic inventory. So go talk to Sean Sullivan, get the Joe Bucks fan discount, and you will not be disappointed. Bill Curry Ford.
Ira, we will be back on Saturday at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, the tap room on 49th Street. And what a fun day it was watching the Bucks and their big comeback against the Falcons. Great crowd out there. Florida's Elite Restoration bought fans beers, a free beer before the game, and it was a great fan appreciation day. We gave away jerseys and t-shirts, and what a great time it was, Ira. But it's always like that at Big Storm Brewery, all every day of the week in their great outdoor covered seating area. They also have a tap room in Odessa, and Big Storm beer is Florida's best craft beer. That's what you want to buy in your local stores and enjoy through the holidays.
You know, I had a ball out there Sunday, the Big Storm, great people. And it's great to watch a Bucks game with the rabid Bucks supporters. I mean, you can feel the energy. There was more energy at Big Storm in the first half than there was in Atlanta from a Buck perspective. I can tell you that. I did a rant with you at halftime, and they must have listened to me because they came out like gangbusters. But, see, we're going to be there again Saturday. Game time's at 1 o'clock. I'll be there about noon. And, Steve, most importantly, I'm not sure that's going to be our last event of the year, because it sure looks like the Bucks are playoff bound, and you would think they're going to be on the road. So you and I will talk about it, and you know what? We might be back at Big Storm during the first round of the playoffs.
Absolutely, Ira, and Big Storm, the tap room, can't emphasize enough. Open air, but covered, 3,000 square foot of outdoor seating and great game watching. Great fun out there. A little thanks to Wilbur and his son for coming up by Uber from Bradenton, Ira, just to hang out with you and us and watch football. That's pretty darn cool. And we even had some out-of-town guests who were in for Christmas, visiting family stop in. So what a time it was, and it always is. Great food, great beer, Big Storm Brewing Company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Buccaneers fans, Week 16 is here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. And we are not talking draft. We are not talking paper bags over our heads. We are talking playoffs and a Buccaneers team that seems to be getting hot. We're fired up, Ira. The podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford for the last 60 years. No payments till summer on new vehicles right now at Bill Curry Ford. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Sage, you are the king of Pasco County, the baron of Big Storm beer. You are everything that is good in Tampa Bay sports. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm going to address this to Mr. DeKemper because, Steve, you and I were at Big Storm on Sunday afternoon with a lot of Buck fans. It was a nice crowd. And we're all looking at each other throughout the first half. We can't believe what's going on. This looked like the Bucks in 2006 when they finished 4-12. With Bruce Gradkowski. And I kept thinking of DeKemper, because DeKemper, in some ways, is the crazy voice of reason on this podcast saying, you know, I don't know. I don't feel that great about this Atlanta game. I don't like the way the Bucks have been playing. And I did Tampa 2 with Derek Brooks today. Lee, I asked him directly, who's responsible for these terrible starts? It's a pattern. It's not a one or two off, you know, this is going back 9 games in a row. Lee, they haven't had a first quarter, a lead at the end of the first quarter since Chicago. I mean, that seems like eons ago. And Brooks said, and he didn't let anybody off the hook. He said, I blame everybody. Everybody. Coaches and the players. They're all responsible. They need to make an investment and play a complete game. And Brooks is very concerned, Lee, that they're not going to be able to compete at a decent level in the postseason with this tale of two halves. It's just not going to work.
I completely agree with Mr. Brooks, and why would I not? But you got to remember, the Bucks did this massive comeback on a four-win team. They're not going to be playing any four-win teams in January. You know, you just can't flip the switch like that. Teams that think they can always get bitten behind. I thought it was interesting. Right after a dramatic win, Bruce Arians right away says he's frustrated. Generally don't hear that from any coach after a win, especially a win where they had a, you know, they looked like they were the San Diego Chargers, you know, Eric Auriel in the second half. They almost couldn't be stopped. And Arians was like, I'm frustrated. What do you think he would have been after a loss? Would he have been throwing chairs? You know, Steve had a great idea, and I sort of piggybacked on it. You know, Steve said, and by the way, Steve and I wrote this years ago when Raheem was coaching. They were always behind. And I'm not about to put Raheem in the same league with Arians, so don't be confused there. Go cut a check to Wade Phillips. Like, okay, here's the tape of all our first halves the last 2 months. Tell me what you see. I took that a step further. Cower and Dungy, both defensive coaches, both know Arians, both have rings, both are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And obviously, they know Arians. They know all about him because they coached with him. You know, the Glazers want to say, here's a check. You guys study it for me. You come back and tell me what I'm doing wrong. What's going on here? Why is this team not even in first gear in the first half? They're still in park. I just think what Steve's idea is great, and I take it a step further. Bruce Arians comes across as an open-minded guy. Maybe he'll do that, but this is going to catch up with him. And I know people at One Buck Palace are getting upset because the media focuses on that. Well, the media has focused on that for a very good reason. You can't pull that off against the Rams or the Chiefs if you made it to the Super Bowl. Saints? Come on. You know, I'm happy the Bucks are doing well. I'm ecstatic they're almost in the playoffs. It almost sounds weird saying that, like I got battered child syndrome when it comes to the Bucks. I expect the worst and hope for the best. I expect the worst. So, you know, Brooks is exactly right. They're going to get burned by this sooner or later. And that's a shame because they got so much invested in this All-Star team.
You know, Steve, isn't this very Buck-like in terms of, Stevie, the three of us should be talking about a 9-5 team with a two-game winning streak on the cusp of the playoffs, all but guaranteed. Oh, let's see who we're going to play. How do we match up? And instead, there's a feeling of concern, maybe even a little dread. Steve, dread, that's a strong word, but Steve, this going on 9 weeks over here. They've been outscored 83-17 in the first quarter. I mean, that's awful. And they don't look ready to play. They're missing tackles left and right early in the game, especially on third down. The offense is doing nothing until they get punched in the face. Steve, nobody seems to have any answers. If Arians had the answer, he'd shut this thing down.
Yeah,
Sage. I mean, I'm happy as hell. 9-5. It's unbelievable. We're on the cusp of something that we just haven't had going here in so long. But it is concerning. And you know, I think the whoever Lee's talking about at One Buck Palace, you know, bottom line is the team is so used to losing that they don't really understand, I guess, that when teams win, you know, you still have media and fans concerned about how they're winning and how they're going to win a title. You know, that's our mindset here. That's what the Bucks want us to have, is a Super Bowl championship mindset. So, you know, I don't think it's wrong to nitpick at all, but you know, it was a thrilling win, Ira, and they're obviously prepared in the sense that they can flick that switch and they have the talent and the firepower to do it. But I don't think it's going to get fixed. I don't think the consistency will get fixed, because if it was, it would have been fixed already. I think they're just going to, you know, do their best, try to improve, work every week, and hope that, you know, when the playoff game comes, they'll be a little bit better, and then they'll just overpower their opponent on talent. I don't have a problem with that. If they just can't get it right until next season, that sucks. But if that's the way it is, it should still be a fun ride, and they could still win regardless.
I got a specific question I'd like to ask both of you. you know, it's gnawing at me a little bit after watching the second half, especially the fourth quarter. Answer me this one. Did they blitz Devin White more in the second half? Did they blitz him differently in the second half, but not any more than he was in the first half? Lee, we've said it before. It's worth saying it again. He's very average in coverage. Average might be doing him a favor. He might be below average in coverage. So blitz the guy. He's a blur out there, Lee. Any kind of seam, any kind of sliver, he's right through it in a flash. They can't catch up to him. Running backs are having trouble matching up with him when he's coming. And, Lee, the guy's a force. He's got 2-3 sack games. He's got 8.5 sacks on the season. Might finish with double digits. What the heck is Bowles looking at in the first half? And what's he thinking about with Devin White when there was no pass rush for the first 30 minutes? Zero. Absolutely zero.
You hit the nail on the head there, Ira. Not so much with Devin White, but with Todd Bowles. You know, the slow start that the Bucs always have. He's obviously coming up with lousy game plans. And that's just me from the outside looking in. You can't tell me he's got a good game plan every week. And they always talk about adjustments. And when they make those adjustments, they do very well. What are they doing during the week? Or maybe the question should be, what are they not doing during the week? So I think the broader question is, what's Bowles seeing? Not so much Devin White. What's Bowles seeing? And, yeah, I agree with you, Ira. If Devin White, you know, they predicted him to be this great blitzer, and as a rookie, he really wasn't. If he's going to do anything remotely like he did Sunday, you know, 3 sacks in 1 quarter is ridiculous. Start sending him from the freaking opening whistle. Don't wait until fourth quarter. Get him, you know, especially when your offense can't get going. Start sending him right away. Not to deviate from the subject, Ira, but I heard something tonight. It's related to slow starts. X amount of games the past 2 months, the Jets have always scored first in the game. I don't know how many games the last 2 months they've scored first. The Jets, the team that's so inept they can't even tank to get a generational quarterback that's going to burn them for 15 years. If that's true, and I'm going to look it up, if that's true, there's something seriously wrong in the coaching rooms at One Buck Palace, because the talent isn't even remotely the same, the Jets and the Bucs.
And Steve, I want to remind you of something I said to you midway second quarter yesterday at Big Storm.
May I have some tater tots?
You going to finish those fries? Good one, Steve. But Steve, don't you remember me saying, and it might have been to the man beast, Zach, intern, and I said, you know, Zach, every week, every damn week, with 4 minutes left in the second quarter, they put up a graphic of the opposing quarterback, and the guy's always 10 for 11 for, 170 yards. I mean, what's going on? Steve, why are these guys so open at the beginning of the game, besides all the missed tackles, which is a factor? But they're wide open, Steve. There's not a buck in the same area code in the first half of these games. I don't understand these game plans.
Sage, let me go back to your question first initially about Devin White. And I agree with you with the blitzing, but you got to pick your spots. You can't have a guy blitzing nonstop because, you know, you're going to burn him out a little bit and it's just not going to be as effective. But I think they do need to do it earlier. But just go to that first drive, okay? And I agree with what Derek Brooks said. It's everybody. It's everybody. You look at that first drive, Falcons get the ball, 3rd and 9. You've got them exactly where you want them, 3rd and 9.
Yep.
Matt Ryan throws a check down, which is exactly what you hope he throws if you can't sack him. And there's Devin White with Todd Gurley right in front of him, you know, after catching a 4-yard pass, and he misses the tackle. And first down, Falcons. And away they go. Now, I can't blame the coaches for a 3rd and 9. Your middle linebacker misses a wide open tackle, and he wasn't even really juked. He just mistimed it. So I don't know what the preparation is going on, but it's a lot of things. And then, of course, like you said, they get the first down, and then it's off to the races. There, you know, everybody's wide ass open, as Bruce Arians would say. And it's just messy. It's just messy. They seem to do better when they switch from soft zone to press man, which they seem to do more of in the second half of games. It's concerning, but look, Tom Brady threw for 320 yards in the second half, which to do that at 43 years old, no one's done it in years and a half of football, let alone with all the pressure on him, with playoff pressure breathing down his neck for him to throw 320 yards in the second half. It's absolutely sick. It's unbelievable at his age and with that kind of pressure.
You're right. He played a fantastic second half, Lee. He threw some beautiful balls. Mike Evans did a very good job of getting open. Some of them were 50-50 balls, and I'll take my chances with Mike Evans. Nice to see Antonio Brown reach the end zone. Lee, one more thing on the defensive side, Lee. You know, it's not all negative. I thought Jamel Dean bounced back nicely, Lee. I thought he had a good game.
Yeah, he'll have a good game, and at least this year. He'll have a good game, and then he'll have two you don't even want to remember.
Ira, it's the holiday season, and nobody wants to think about it, but they get their last-minute decorations out of the attic or from that closet or under the sink, and next thing you know, they're wet, they're damp, they're moldy. You got to call Florida's Elite Restoration, Florida's number one mold remediation specialist. They are our friends. They're honest. They're local. A good-sized company, but not too big where you can't deal with the owner. And bottom line is Florida's Elite Restoration. That is your first call when you see mold or water or any kind of disaster before your insurance company, because they can help you navigate that in a hurry and give you a free estimate to make sure everything's right.
You know, Steve, Josh and his crew were out in force at Big Storm on Sunday. They bought everybody a beer. They were putting my food on Josh's tab. Josh, if you're listening to this, you'll notice I paid my own way, buddy. I didn't want to mess you up and give you a $500 tab. I paid for my food and my drink, but what a bunch of great people. And it only reinforced what I originally thought, Steve, that if you have a mold problem, you got to get on it right away. Call Florida's Elite Restoration before you call your insurance company to try to figure out if it's a minor job or something major, and you will get an honest assessment. And that's what you want. You want honesty. And if it's a small job, they'll tell you that. Florida's Elite Restoration, the place to go for all your mold issues.
And they will help you 24/7, Ira. They'll respond extremely quickly. And if it's a big disaster, yes, you've got to call a plumber and stop the bleeding on a big leak, but you can call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, and they're going to help you and guide you, and they work with plumbers. And bottom line is when it's bad, you have to make sure that it's done right and you're not ripped off and you have an honest assessment. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
And Lee, Murphy Bunting, you know, Arians doesn't want to kill the guy publicly, but he's not particularly supportive either of Murphy Bunting. And I don't think you can be at this point. Lee, I think he is what he is. He's marginal. He's probably on a better defense, Lee. He's probably a backup.
He's regressed. You know, that has something to do with no preseason, you know. I have heard that theory, not specifically about Bunting, but I heard that theory that a lot of second-year guys, you know, normally make a jump. I've heard a theory that several second-year guys aren't making that jump, not necessarily with the Bucs, but overall in the NFL. And they think part of that is no offseason. I don't know if that's excuse-making or not. It's interesting. We won't know if that's accurate or not until next year. Who knows? He's not playing well. Let's put it that way.
Steve, what a great play by Winfield. Never gave up on that ball. It looked like a short touchdown to Ridley when it left Ryan's hands. And, you know, that's a four-point swing. Steve, that's a huge play right there.
Yeah, it's a huge play, and he's made them before. You know, he's similar in style, at least, to what he did against the Giants. And, you know, a lot of good things, but a 4-9 bad Falcons team. But I will say this, if anybody who's watched the Falcons, that was probably the sixth or seventh Falcons game I watched this year. That's how they play every single week. They find ways to choke, and that's why Dan Quinn got fired. And Raheem's done a good job of continuing the tradition while mixing in a few victories. So I don't know. I don't know what to think, Ira, but the Rams got their ass kicked by the Jets, which is just one of the biggest upsets really in the history of regular season football, Ira. If you really sit back and think about an 0-3 13 team, knocking off a team like the Rams, it's shocking. And on the road.
Steve, it opens up the number five playoff seed for the Bucs. Rams have the tiebreaker, but, you know, the Bucs could win out and the Rams could drop one of the last two. Steve, all of a sudden, you know, the Bucs are on their way to the NFC East winner. I think Buc fans would like that scenario.
Yeah, I would almost think that the Bucs are the favorites to do that because the Rams don't have the easiest schedule. They still have the Cardinals, and the Rams, obviously, they're not playing very well if they lost to the Jets. So it's exciting, and that NFC East winner at this point right now with the Redskins losing like they did, it very well could be the Cowboys. You know, whoever it is, you know, I know we disagree a bit on this, but whoever it is, give me the team that's worse, that hasn't figured out how to win well and that has marginal quarterback situations, and really everybody in that division does. I don't have a team picked out, but I'm hoping that that's the way it goes. Plus, if there are some upsets in the playoffs, then you've got a chance for a home game in that second
round. You know,
that's really where my focus lies is, Ira. Because if there's an upset and all of a sudden the Rams are the sixth seed and the Rams knock off Seattle,
then
the Bucs would have a home game against the Rams.
Great point. You know, Lee, something that Steve said in passing, and, you know, we're so numb at this point about this whole 2020 season, and it's been a season like no other. But something he just said, Lee, I mean, it's preposterous on the face of it.
Oh.
And I'm not saying that Steve was wrong to say it, but to actually mention the Dallas Cowboys at this stage of this season as a potential division winner, I mean, that says it all, Lee. They stink. They stink. They got a terrible defense.
Just before Steve called, Gil Brandt put out on Twitter, Cowboys had no Pro Bowlers this year. The last time that happened, there was a structure in Germany that was still in place. It was known as the Berlin Wall.
And that was before, probably before Troy Aikman, right about the time Troy Aikman got to town. That's right.
Yeah, but that was wild. There was still a Berlin Wall the last time the Cowboys didn't have a Pro Bowler.
Lee, I thought you were going to say the Wiener Schnitzel House, Ira's favorite place in downtown Berlin.
It's in Baden-Baden.
Baden-Baden.
You know, Steve, you're not crazy that the Bucs could end up in the second round with a home playoff game. That's not crazy, Steve.
I know. That's why I want that number five seed. I don't care about the first round. You got to go out and beat somebody. I mean, you got a shot at a home game there like that, and you know that would be just so amazing for everybody. And you know, you would think the Bucs would be, if they can get the five seed, it means they won out. It means they had a winning record at home. And it means that you know, maybe they're actually good enough to go all the way.
They're 5-2 on the road, Lee. They could finish with six road wins. Now, I understand that there's not 60,000 fans in these opposing stadiums. I understand that. But it's still hitting the road and getting on a plane and staying in a hotel. And, you know, it's not easy. And to go 6-2 would be a nice accomplishment. Arians and his guys, and there's a lot of talent on this team, and I think that's what makes it so frustrating, and also the expectations, Lee, before the season, even though we tried to temper them, and, you know, I said I think the Saints are better than the Bucs. I think the Saints will win the division. Buc fans didn't want to hear it, but it is what it is, Lee. I mean, they're 9-5. They got Tom Brady, Lee. He's healthy. That's, to me, the number one thing. You got a healthy Brady. Lee, that gives you a chance. You got a fighting chance.
Oh, yeah. You know, they showed yesterday they're a dangerous team. It's just frustrating that for whatever reason, and I don't think I've ever seen anything like this, a team that loaded this talented and they start out slow week after week after week, doesn't matter who they play, lousy team, good team, doesn't matter. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. It's unbelievable. Shoot, if I knew, I'm sure I can get $1 million from the Glazers. Hey, I've got the magic bullet, you know? Oh, okay, what do you need? Seven figures. A lot of zeros.
I'll take $235,000, Joel, if you're listening. No problem. I'll do it cheaper than Lee.
Steve.
Ira, let me set the stage for the fans here. For those who haven't been paying attention, we've got we were talking about the NFC East right now. Washington is 6-8, and they have remaining games at home against the Panthers, and then they go to the Eagles. And the Cowboys still have the Eagles and the Giants. You know, it's not over there yet, and you could have a 7-9 winner.
You know, the Redskins are playing pretty good. The Washington team's playing pretty good football. They lost 15-10 to Seattle, again proving, Lee, as you said, that they got a hellacious defense. I just don't think they got enough offense, Lee, to tip the scales and beat a good team in the postseason if they get there. But they're going to go down fighting, Lee. They go down. And, Lee, one more point about the Falcons. You were making this kind of, and I'll accentuate it. You know, teams that they can't close, Lee, we're so used to that around here. We're so used to it, Buck fans, Buck observers. The years that the Bucks go 5-11, and that's many, many times, many, many times, 5-11. Might have been 6-10. Sometimes it's 4-12. Lee, those Buck teams were famous for a couple of things. One game a year, Lee, one game a year, they'd win a game that they got no business winning. One time. That's one win. They'd knock off a team that was favored over them by 10 points. But more importantly, they'd lose all the close games, Lee, and that's kind of what this Falcon team looks like. They don't know how to win, Lee, and it reminds me so much of those bad Buck teams.
Could it be with the Falcons they have too many Bucks, ex-Bucks coaches?
Yeah. And Luke Stocker. I'm blaming it on Stocker, really.
I wasn't even going to mention Stocker, but since you brought it up, I don't know why, but so many Bucks fans hated Stocker. I never could figure out why. He wasn't a bad player.
No, he wasn't.
He was a fourth-round pick. For a fourth-round pick to still be collecting a check in the NFL and producing, it's pretty darn good.
Pretty darn good.
10th season for Luke Stocker. Lee, there is a rumor out there that Raheem is going to hire Greg Schiano to fix his defense over the last couple of weeks.
Or Lovie. By the way, Ira, did you see where Lovie, and again, his agent slash son, is working his buddies with the national media? Mike Garofalo, NFL Network, said Lovie's wanting a defensive coordinator job in the NFL. And my reaction to that is, yeah, and I want to come home to Kate Upton, too.
Oh, my. That's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
Real quick on the ex-Bucks coaches in Atlanta. Obviously, Raheem's not coming back. Is this it for Cutter, you think? You think he retires? He's 62. He may just say, oh, the heck with it. I'm tired of moving.
I think a new coach, Lee, they're getting a new GM. They're getting a new coach. I think the new coach wants his own staff. I think he probably want to, you know, tell Blank this is a new beginning for the Falcons. I'm not even sure Matt Ryan's coming back, Lee. I think certainly they got to draft a quarterback in the first three rounds. I mean, they have to at some point. Yeah, I think it's safe to say Cutter's very, very tenuous in Atlanta. But if he wanted another OC job, I think he could probably get one in the league.
He said something years ago when he was with the Bucks that really hit home with me. Cutter said that when Lovie was fired and he learned about it, one of his children happened to be, they're all sitting around watching TV, and one of his kids was on Twitter and saw it. That's how he learned Lovie was fired. I think it was his son saw it on Twitter while they were sitting around watching TV. Well, anyway, the big thing, you know, after they learned Lovie was fired, the big thing among the family was, oh no, are we moving again?
Steve, I don't know if I believe that. I got to think Cutter knew that that Lovie was a goner and that he was going to be promoted.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do know, though, that Cutter's kids are all grown up, so maybe that's not an issue anymore. And he does have experience with rookie quarterbacks, and I think, you know, with all the quarterbacks coming out, I think that that might make him a little bit more attractive somewhere. All right, Ira, let me turn the tables back to that football game a little bit. Josh Wells held up pretty well for Donovan Smith, which I think was really the untold story of that game in a lot of ways. And you also had The Buccaneers' run defense just locking down and completely getting more separation in their standing as the number one defense, run defense in the NFL.
No question about it. I mean, Dalvin Cook's Dalvin Cook. He's going to get his 100 yards. He burns everybody, Lee, just like Derrick Henry burns everybody. I don't care who you are. But the Falcons don't have a running back half that caliber, and they weren't going to run on the Bucs. And the Bucs don't like to run the ball, period, Lee. So no surprise, 95 passes through the air between these two veteran quarterbacks. It was going to be a passing fest, Lee. That's how it turned out. But, Lee, before I pass out the cigars to the Buck offensive line, I got a little problem. Joe Gilbert's the line coach. I got a little problem with the protection schemes, Lee, in the first half. I don't think they got the job done. You know, props to Raheem and his defensive coaches. They had a good plan. They mixed up their blitzes. Sometimes it was linebackers. Sometimes it was safeties. Corners were coming. And, Lee, I didn't think the Bucs did a particularly good job those first 30 minutes of handling the pressure. I thought Brady had a lot of heat on him.
And again, my idea of bad blocking and most people's idea of bad blocking are night and day difference. You know, it didn't stick out to me because I don't remember that. What did stick out to me was a video I saw this morning, and I posted it on JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, when's the last time you've seen an offensive lineman take care of a pass rusher from the right side and then wipe out a blitzer from the left side?
Lee, I watched that video, and I thought it was fantastic. I'm with you 100%.
Oh, with Tristan Wirfs?
Fantastic, Tristan Wirfs. Fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. I just laughed for like 5 minutes. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. I've seen, you know, an offensive lineman take out two guys before. I've seen that. No, that happens almost every game. But take out a right defensive end and then keep going. Talk about not giving up on the play. Keep going as you took the guy out and then wipe out a blitzer from the left side. I don't know if I've ever seen that. And I mean, he wiped that guy out. He almost clotheslined him.
You're right. And, you know, look, everybody knew how strong he was. People knew he was a good athlete. But that goes to instincts, too, Steve. He showed tremendous instincts on that play. Just the awareness that there might be a guy coming from Brady's left. And he nailed the guy. And knocked them, you know, off stride. Tremendous play, Steve. I don't know if you've seen the video.
I've seen the video. He's an absolute beast of a right tackle, and what a pick. And I wish they could sort of take more advantage of him because I think he's a hell of a run blocker as well. And you got Gronkowski out there. But, Ira, that brings me to the votes are in. One-third from the fans, one-third from the coaches, one-third from the players. And despite all of the national profile of leading up to the season and all of the nationally televised games and the night games and the spotlight and all the chatter, the Buccaneers have one Pro Bowler, and his name is Jason Pierre-Paul.
You're absolutely right, Steve. I was a little surprised. And I looked at some other teams, Lee, the lowly Detroit Lions, you know, one of the most nondescript franchises in the league, especially when you compare it to the hype surrounding the 2020 Bucks. They got three guys. Lee. Now, one's a specialist. I understand that. You know, the Bears have more. There's some bad NFC teams have more Pro Bowlers than the Bucks. But, Lee, we're honest here. You break it down. Should Brady have beaten out Kyler Murray? Arguable. You know, Murray, Lee, he's got 11 rushing touchdowns. I mean, you can't sneeze at that. And Brady's got more to work with than Murray does from an offensive standpoint. So that's one you could argue. I think it's close. And then, of course, you got the linebackers, David and White. You had Bobby Wagner and Fred Warner. Wagner's had better years. I think he might have got in on reputation. Very good player for Seattle. But they got a lousy defense. And the 49ers with Warner, Lee, I was looking at his numbers. It's not just a numbers game. I understand it. Aaron Rodgers said, you're the best a couple of weeks ago. They, you know, the microphones picked up Rodgers talking to Warner after a game between Green Bay and San Francisco, and he put his arm around Warner and said, you're the best middle linebacker in this league. But, Lee, I'm looking at his numbers. They pale in comparison to both David and White. I mean, they do. I understand what you're saying, Steve, about White missing a tackle. He's got a long way to go in coverage. But Lee, what he does very well. He's a disruptor. And he got over 100 tackles and 8.5 sacks. Nobody else has that in the league. Nobody has that. And, you know, you can't say he doesn't make big plays. And, of course, Levante David, Mr. Steady. That's one that I think bothers Buck fans a lot, Lee. Neither of those guys making the NFC team.
Well, it'll be Levante David that will get people upset. You know, once again, gets the shaft year after year after year. You know, everybody knows, well, they're all, he's such a great linebacker. He's got the numbers to back it up. He's got Keekly-like numbers. He can never get in that Pro Bowl.
This year, you can't blame it on not enough primetime games and not enough attention. You can't.
To me, Ira, that's what makes it interesting, because you got to think then that the coaches and the players don't think he's a Pro Bowler. And it doesn't mean he's a bad player. It doesn't change how well he plays, but they just don't think he's better than Bobby Wagner, who actually made his 7th Pro Bowl and has, you know, strong comparable numbers. Fred Warner, you know, he doesn't have those kinds of numbers, but, you know, and he's never made a Pro Bowl, and he's, you know, third round pick, a third year player, but he's got that reputation. And I guess obviously the players and the coaches put him in. So it's no slight. It is important to note, though, that the Pro Bowl was chosen before Sunday's game. Now, that I don't know why they do it that way. It's the stupidest thing ever, especially this year when they don't have to worry about guys committing to the game and deciding to show up.
Yeah.
It's like, why couldn't you wait till the end of the year or till week 17? So White really got screwed on that a little bit. So that decision was made before Sunday. But those eight sacks that he has, that's just an unbelievable number for an inside linebacker. Back in 2012, Bowles, when he joined with Arians, they had Carlos Dansby, had a wild year for the Cardinals at that same position, and he didn't even have eight sacks. So it's really really something.
What do you boys think about Brady versus Kyler Murray?
I might side with Kyler Murray. He's dynamic.
You know, you could argue it either way, but yeah, it's hard to eliminate that threat, you know, that he brings in the run. But he's got some weapons. I would say that he's got more weapons than you might have painted the picture, but he doesn't have Brady weapons. And I think the amount of weapons Brady has in the minds of the coaches and the players works against him a little bit.
Well, you're right. He's got Hopkins and, you know, an old man Fitzgerald, but Hopkins is about as good as it gets, Lee. And, you can't say Murray's got nobody to throw to.
Yeah, Hopkins actually was one of the three NFC Pro Bowl players. So one Pro Bowler. I don't know if that'll be some bulletin board material, if the guys will get fired up for that. I know Devin White will be pissed off. Carlton Davis didn't make it. No shock over here. I don't know if you boys are surprised about that, or no Buccaneers offensive linemen were selected either.
You know, Steve makes a good point, Lee. You could say that, Buck fans don't flood the ballot box like other teams, but it's only a third of the vote, Lee, and we're so wrapped up in Buck culture and Buck universe, Lee, and you go outside Tampa, Florida, you know, they don't look at Ali Marpet or Carlton Davis the way Bruce Arians does and the way some Buck fans do, and, you know, you can't always get what you want. Who said that, Lee? Mick Jagger?
I prefer David Lee Roth. You can't find a medic on a subway line.
Steve, I just find it funny that teams like the Detroit Lions have three Pro Bowlers and the Bucks have one. That's kind of comical in a way.
Can't always get what you want, Ira. That's what the ladies used to tell you at those sock hops back in 1955.
Steve, I put the moves on and I come up short.
Just a little short, Ira. Just a little short. Hey, where you never come up short, is at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Shop right now for the amazing year-end deals. This is the time to buy. It's the busiest time of year for people shopping, and you got to get it done. Bill Curry Ford, General Manager Sean Sullivan, is ready to help you personally all week long, all the way up to the new year, any way he can. You can get his email if you want to shoot him a note right there at BillCurryFord.com. Now, Ira, I want you to address the magnitude of this 9-5 record, because barring just the most amazing collapse and weirdness in the history of Tampa sports, The Bucks are going to make the playoffs. That's just what's going to happen, barring, again, a total freak show that we really don't want to happen. 12 years, Ira, and on the heels of the Lightning winning the Stanley Cup and the Rays going to the World Series and the world going to hell, I mean, this is just an amazing thing going on here. And, you know, what are we missing? What should we appreciate? I mean, you've been around the game for 73 years. What do we need to know?
Well, a couple of things, gentlemen. One thing that makes it especially sweet, Lee, and I think even you would admit at this point, Lee, at 9-5, that they are going to play past January 3rd. Yes, they are. And, Lee, the same year that the Browns, I don't know if the Browns have clinched, but they're on the brink of clinching a playoff spot. And they're the only team that had a longer playoff drought, 18 years. So that's going to end. And thank God the Bucks are going to be in the postseason, Lee. Or, you know, it's bad enough being the NFC's longest drought. This would have been the NFL's longest drought if the Bucks had broken that streak. And we don't even want to think about that, because there's too many negatives involved with this franchise over the years. Lee, of course, it's worth mentioning. Buck fans don't want to hear it. They have the all-time worst record of an NFL franchise, Lee. They're at the bottom, the very, very bottom. And don't Buck fans know it, Lee? Guys and women that have been following this organization since 76. But, Lee, you know what tempers this 9-5 record and breaking the playoff drought? You know why there's not as much jubilation as there probably should be, Lee, is the expectations. The expectations. Everybody expected the Bucks at minimum to be in the postseason. That'd be the bare minimum with Mr. Brady, and it all revolves around Mr. Brady. You know, if Brady wasn't here and Winston came back, or they would have got Phillip Rivers, there wouldn't have been nearly that kind of buildup for the 2020 Buccaneers. So, Lee, I think people are just kind of waiting until the opening playoff round, which I think will be January 9th, January 10th. They expect the Bucks to make a deep run. So it's not like other years, Lee, when people said, oh, maybe they could go 8-8, and all of a sudden they're 9-5. I mean, that's euphoria. I think that's a big part of what's going on with Buck Nation, Lee.
Well, I think part of the reason why you don't see hysteria in the streets is this virus. Not that many people can go to games.
Yeah.
No tailgate parties. You know, everything's muted because of that. And people are scared to go to bars even. So I think that's a major reason why everything seems, the best word I can come up with is muted. Because people are, you know, they're locking them in their houses. And by the way, we're talking about the Browns snapping their NFL long postseason drought. I love it when people say, continuity, you got to have continuity. You can't fire our coaches. You must have continuity. Well, would the Browns have been better off with Freddie Kitchens and winning two or three games? Or were they good getting rid of Kitchens after 1 year, bringing in Stefanski, and they're going to win double-digit wins in a tough division? You tell me
right.
Which is better.
Right. Absolutely.
If a guy's not doing a good job, there's no reason to keep him. I don't care. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, you get rid of him. Only in sports is that word used. You don't see businesses and all of a sudden they're starting to lose money over hand and fist. You know, we got to keep doing the same thing. The only newspapers think that way. Businesses get rid of people. You're losing money. Bye bye.
Yeah, Ira, I forgot to mention you're fired, by the way.
what do you mean? I'm 9-5, Stevie. I'm 9-5.
I think it's worth noting that given the Browns' success this year and how well, you know, they've thrived and answered the critics, I think it's worth noting that the job that Bruce Arians wanted was the Cleveland gig to go coach Baker Mayfield, and he liked their talent there. Obviously, he had some history there, but I think that's kind of interesting, and you know, for whatever that's worth.
Lee, a lot of attention to Baker Mayfield, a lot. And he's had a good season, no question. But, Lee, that is a rough-and-tumble football team. They are very physical, Lee. They run the ball extremely well, maybe second best to Tennessee. And, you know, they got more than Chubb. I mean, whoever carries the ball, they got Kareem Hunt. Chubb's a monster, Lee. He's tremendous. And That is their identity. They pound away. They got a good defense led by Myles Garrett. Very, very physical football team, Lee. I wouldn't put the Bucs necessarily in that category, Lee. I think the Bucs are more of a finesse team.
I think so, too. But, you know, you can win with finesse.
I don't know, Ira. I'm going to disagree with you on the finesse part on defense. I mean, how do you have the number one run defense and be a finesse team? I can't buy that.
Well, I guess I was comparing offenses, Steve. I know I couldn't get one past you, Iz, but never can. Never can.
Kareem Hunt was picked up for 2 bits and a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
And now, hold on. Speaking of that, Lee, there's another guy that plays the same position that was picked up, and I don't think it's crazy to say this guy is going to have a big role in the postseason, and that's Le'Veon Bell. I think he might have had a significant role even if Edwards-Helaire hadn't gotten hurt. Thank God it's not a knee injury or anything, but he's got a high ankle sprain. I don't think he'll play the final two regular season games, but Steve, Le'Veon Bell has played in a lot of big games, and I think he's rounding into shape, and you know, he's a good pass receiver out of the backfield, and I'm not sure the Chiefs missed that much when he's in that backfield.
He could be a Buccaneer next year, Ira. You never know. You never know.
You never know.
We got plenty of time to talk about the offseason, Ira. Before we get out of here, and we are getting out of here on this podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford, and of course our thanks to the official beer of this podcast, Big Storm Beer, Ira and his beloved Tropic Pressure Golden Ale, which you can find in the stores and just start drinking it. It's damn good, and your family's going to love it. And our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, they're your first call. If there's any kind of disaster in your home, floridaselite-restoration.com. Sage, Rich Gannon was on with Rich Eisen last week before the Atlanta game. Gannon said he's been talking to people in Tampa. And I brought this up because you know Gannon. You know him. And not that long ago, I know that he gave you some very inside information when he was in Tampa at a game, and it was rock
yes.
solid. And yes. he's not a bloviating kind of blowhard dude.
Not Cowherd.
Yeah. He's not a sensationalist guy. So he's telling Rich Eisen, I've been talking to people down there, and he basically puts it out that Brady, and the story is at JoeBucksFan.com, that Brady isn't really used to the lack of discipline and the and a style of coaching that Bruce Arians has with his team. And Gannon was careful to say he's not knocking Arians, just basically Arians' system in Tampa is not Bill Belichick and coaches who know exactly what they have to do and they're precise and they have to answer to Bill. And Brady has more on his plate because he's just not used to things being a little bit looser, and he's also maybe coaching up some players as well, and it's just more of an adjustment for him. What do you make of that? And I ask you that in the framework of Gannon was sort of out there saying, I don't think this is going to get fixed this year, but, you know, the Bucs will just have to keep grinding through their inconsistency.
Well, Steve, my reaction to that is I think it says more about the New England culture than it does what's going on in Tampa. Lee, by that I mean if Brady would have gone to any other team, any of the other 30 teams besides New England and Tampa, I think he would have said the same thing, Lee, in terms of, well, this isn't Foxborough under Belichick. Yeah. I mean, I think Belichick stands alone, Lee, and he didn't know any other way. He didn't have any other coach. I mean, that was what he played under. Those were the rules of the game in terms of, you know, discipline. There ain't nobody like Belichick, Lee, that we've ever seen. Nobody. Game details, do your job. So I think he probably would have said the same thing, Lee, had he gone to the Colts or another organization. You know, Arians is looser than Belichick, but Lee, you know what? So's 30 other coaches.
Oh, yeah, I think you make a great point there. And I got to be honest, Ira, and I'll just use an example, or a couple examples, what I saw this summer during training camp. I'm right there on the field. I mean, you know, a couple steps away from the sidelines. One time I had a perfect spot in the end zone when man, I wish they would let me film. And I got some stuff on my phone, but I mean, I was right there. I could hear everybody talking. Aaron's was very quick to jump on people. They were a step out of line. I don't mean out of line like goofing off with anything. A step off of what they were supposed to do. He was all over their tail. I wrote this one time. He gave it to them loud and dirty so they remembered. And, I mean, he just like snap of a finger would go off on people. And I remember one time Alex Kappa got thrown out of practice, and I immediately started texting Steve. And Steve, because they had the press conference immediately after practice. Well, I didn't have my laptop with me, so I texted Steve, and Steve, ask him about Alex Kappa getting thrown out of practice. And sure enough, you know, Aaron said it was one of the stupidest things that happened all day, if I remember the quote correctly. It was a great quote. But, yeah, I don't think there's any lack, at least what I saw is lack of discipline. But I know what you're saying, Ira, that there's only one Belichick. He's a rigid disciplinarian. And also, you've seen NFL films. He's constantly going up to players in the middle of practice and giving them quizzes, like pop quizzes. Like he'll walk up to a guy and go, hey, if a quarterback does such and such, what should you do? And he's catching these guys off guard. He wants to make sure they know what they're supposed to do. And I don't know if Arians does that, but Belichick does.
Steve, I guess what I'm saying in my answer is that if Brady had played for other coaches and Gannon still got that impression about Brady, trying to adjust to the Arians regime, I think that would have a little bit more credibility, a little more validity. But when you've played for Bill for two decades, Steve, you are used to one way of doing things, a unique way of doing things. And, hey, I don't care if the New England – I don't care if the Patriots only win six games this year. He's still the best coach in football by a country mile, Steve.
Ira, it's kind of like when you worked with Roy Cummings for all those years and then you switched over here. You know, you needed a little time.
There's only two coaches I can think of that might come close to Belichick as far as just rigid disciplinarian, Tomlin and Harbaugh.
Steve, the difference with the analogy you just presented is last time I looked, Cummings doesn't have six Vince Lombardi trophies.
He's just got ring around the collar, right? There you go. All right, Ira. Look, we're going to say goodbye to you, and we do have another podcast coming this week. And so exciting stuff. Saturday is the kickoff, so we got a short week this week. It's going to be jam-packed with a lot of goodies. And then, of course, kickoff, you can hang out with the Sage himself. Big Storm.
That's right.
Big Storm in Clearwater. 1 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. You can take your Christmas hangover and hang out with Ira. Good times. We got more giveaways. And Ira, get out of here. Lee, get out of here. And we will have an exciting podcast to finish up this week coming up.
And the three of us wish our listeners and our readers the happiest of holidays.